Chapter 3. One idea had become rooted in Georg Rahe's mind. He would see his past once again, eye to eye. He contrived to come by a foreigner's passport, and so to cross over the frontier. He traveled on through towns and villages. He waited about at big and little railway stations, and by nightfall is at last there where he wishes to be. Without delay, he sets off down the street, through the town and beyond it toward the heights. Children are playing in the pools of light under the gas lamps. Workmen returning home come toward him. A couple of motor cars whir past. Then it is quiet. The twilight is still enough to enable him to see, and anyway, Rahe's eyes are used to the dark. He leaves the road and goes off across country. After a while, he trips up. Rusty barbed wire has caught in his trousers and ripped a hole. He stoops to release it. It is the barbed wire entanglement along an old, battered trench. Rahe straightens himself up. Ahead stretch away the barren fields of battle. In the uncertain twilight they appear a tormented, frozen sea, a petrified storm. Rahe detects the sickly odor of blood, of powder and earth, the wild smell of death who is still in this landscape and here has authority. Involuntarily he draws in his head, his shoulders hunch, his arms hang loosely forward, hands ready for a fall. No more the gait of the cities, but the crouching, stealthy slinking of the beast, the wary alertness of the soldier again. He stops and studies the field. An hour ago it was still strange to him, but now he knows it, every fold in the ground, every valley. He has never been away from it. In the rekindling of memory, the months shrivel up like paper. They are consumed and vanish away like smoke. Once more, Lieutenant Georg Rahe is crawling along through the night on patrol, and there has been nothing between. About him, only the silence of the evening and the faint wind in the grasses. But in his ears, the battle roars again. He sees the explosions heaving. Parachute rockets hang in the sky above the desolation like gigantic arc lamps. The heaven coughs glowing black, and the earth, thundering from horizon to horizon, is churned into fountains and sulfurous craters. Rahe clenches his teeth. He is no dreamer, but he cannot withstand it. Memory overwhelms him like a whirlwind. Here is not peace, not the make-believe peace of the rest of the world. Here is still struggle and war. Here destruction is still mysteriously raging, and its eddies lose themselves in the sky. The earth clutches for him. It reaches out after him as with hands. The yellow, thick clay sticks to his shoes and makes his steps heavy, as though the dead would drag him, the survivor, down to themselves. He is running over the black fields of craters. The wind is growing stronger. The clouds are driving fast, and occasionally the moon pours its pale light over the landscape. And each time the light comes, then Rahe stops dead. His heart stands still. He flings himself down and lies motionless, glued to the earth. He knows it is nothing. But again, the next time, startled, he springs into a shell hole. With open eyes and well aware, he yet submits to the law of this ground over which no man can walk upright. The moon is a gigantic parachute rocket. The tree stumps in the coppice stand out black in the moonlight. Beyond the ruins of the farm, there slopes the gully through which no attack ever came. Rahe squats in a trench. Bits of a belt are lying there, a couple of mess tins, a spoon, hand grenades covered in mud, ammunition pouches, and beside them gray-green wet cloths, threadbare, already half-turned to clay, the remains of a soldier. He lies long on the ground, his face to the earth, and the silence is beginning to speak, In the earth is an immense hollow rumbling, gasping breath, roaring and again rumbling, clapping and clinking. He clutches his fingers into the earth and presses his head down against it. He thinks he hears voices and cries. He would like to ask, to speak, to cry out. He listens and waits for an answer to his life. But only the wind rises. The clouds drive more swiftly and lower, and shadow chases shadow over the field. Rahe picks himself up and walks on without direction a long time, till at last he is standing before the black crosses, erect, one behind another in long rows, like a company, a battalion, a brigade, an army. And suddenly he understands all. Before these crosses, the whole fabric of grand abstractions and fine phrases comes crashing down. Here alone the war still exists, no longer as in the minds and distorted memories of those who have come away from it. Here stand the lost years that have not been fulfilled, like a will-o'-the-wisp over the graves. Here the unlived life that finds no rest cries out in roaring silence to the sky. Here the strength and the will of a generation of youth that died before it could begin to live is poured out in one vast lament upon the night. Shudders creep over him. At one shrill burst he recognizes the empty jaws where the truth, the valor, and the life of a generation disappeared. The thought chokes him. It destroys him. "Comrades!" he shouts to the wind and the night. "Comrades! We have been betrayed! We must march again! Against it! Against it! Comrades!" He stands in front of the crosses. The moon breaks through and he sees them gleaming. They rise out of the earth with widespread arms. Already their tread comes on menacing. He stands before them, marks time. He stretches his hand onward. "Comrades, march!" And his hand goes to his pocket, and again the arm is lifted. A tired, lonely shot that is caught up by the wind and swept away. He staggers. He is down on his knees. He props on his arms and with a last effort turns again to the crosses. He sees them marching. They stamp and are in motion. They are marching slowly, and their way is far. It will take long, but it leads forward. They shall come there and fight their last battle, the battle for life. They are marching in silence, a dark army, the longest way, the way into the heart. It will take many years, but what is time to them? They have broken camp. They are marching. They come. His head sinks down. It grows dark about him. He falls forward. He is marching with the column. As one late finding his way home, he lies there on the ground, his arms outspread, his eyes dull already, and his knees drawn up. The body twitches once more. Then all has become sleep. And now only the wind is still there on the desolate, dark waste. It blows and blows. Above are the clouds and the sky, the fields and the endless wide plains with the trenches and shell holes and crosses.